Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. This Sunday is Baptism of the Lord Sunday on the church calendar, a day when we usher in the ordinary time after Epiphany with the story of Jesus' baptism. It's an interesting bookend to the Advent season, which we brought in with Isaiah's plea for God to tear open the heavens. Now at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, we see that prayer fulfilled, and we take the opportunity to renew our own baptismal covenant. So grab your Bible, turn it to Mark chapter 1, and prepare your heart and mind as we look at God's Son, the Beloved. And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Mark chapter 1. If you're using the Pew Bible, it is on page 35 of the New Testament. Today we begin a new season in the church calendar. It is the season after the Epiphany. It's called Ordinary Time. And it's not ordinary as in, oh, that's so ordinary. But it's ordinary as in ordinal, as in it's when we count weeks after the Epiphany. So it's ordered or ordinal. The baptism of the Lord is what begins this season. And it is a time when we remember Christ's baptism and the beginning of His ministry. At the end of the season after the Epiphany, we will come to the Transfiguration and then go into the Lenten season. But as we are looking at the baptism of our Lord this morning, and as we are remembering our own baptisms, let us now hear the word of the Lord for us today. Beginning at verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I asked this question last year. How many of you remember your baptism? Remember the physical baptism? There's a couple of hands. Some people who were probably baptized later in life. For the most part, we as United Methodists are baptized as infants or children. And so we don't physically remember the time when we were baptized. I was baptized September 22nd, 1969. And I don't remember it. I was 5 months old. I have pictures in an album at home. Pictures of my mom and dad holding me in front of the house where we lived. And then my aunt and my uncle, who were my godparents, also holding me in front of the house where we lived. Back then, you wouldn't dare to bring a camera into the sanctity of the sanctuary. We take a kind of slightly different view of those things today. But I don't remember the actual baptism, and there's no record of it, no video record or anything like that. I actually have a video of my daughter's baptism in 1991. I have a video of my wife's baptism. I was actually there for my wife's baptism. when she was 31 years old, she, never having been baptized, was baptized as part of the new member class in Pittman, the very same day that we were admitted as members of the church. She was also baptized into the body of Christ. And baptism is something that most of us do not remember. I know that when my children were baptized, there are certain vows that we take as part of the baptismal covenant, that we as parents, we say that we renounce the forces of wickedness in the world, and we turn to God, and we will raise this child as a Christian. I had no intention of doing that with my first two children. I'm not going to mix words, because I didn't even believe in God when my children were baptized. And indeed, there are many people who come to the church to have their children baptized who maybe don't believe, or they're not members of the church. They just say, well, it's something that has to be done. It's a familial obligation. Might as well, you know, that church is as good as any other church, and why not? But it's a reminder that that act of baptism is not about what we do as Christians. It's about what God has done for us at the cross of Jesus Christ. We are not perfect. There are some denominations that say, well, you shouldn't baptize someone if they can't make that decision for themselves. Well, just because someone is an adult and decides for themselves to be baptized doesn't mean that they're going to stay true to the covenant that they make with God. We are human beings. We break the covenant with God all the time. It's God that has the eternal covenant with us that is never broken. And that is so important for us to remember in this time of baptism. We look at this text for us then today. And we look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was baptizing in a region called Perea. Perea is a large region on the eastern side of the Jordan River, across from Jerusalem, about 20 miles east of Jerusalem. So John was baptizing in a place that the Jews didn't recognize as a place for baptism. In fact, the Jews had baptismal places in Jerusalem, right at the temple. You could still see them today. There are these great large baths where you would walk down on one side and you would dip yourself into the water, and you would come out on the other side and you would be ritually clean, ritually purified. It would allow you to go into the temple. Now, it was a ritual immersion. It was something that, it was just a symbol that you were being cleansed. The water itself wasn't making you clean, but the water in the Jerusalem baths was running water, and it was a clean water. It was constantly flowing through the baths, and so it was always clean. The waters of the Jordan River, if you've never seen them, are dirty, muddy, filthy. You wouldn't want to take a bath in that water, you know? And in fact, we see that in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 7, Naaman, who is a Syrian, goes to be cured of his leprosy, and Elisha tells him to go dip himself in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman gets all bent out of shape. He says, are not the waters of Damascus cleaner than that muddy river? And in fact, they are. The river, the Euphrates River, is a nice, beautiful, blue river. And yet, the river Jordan is really brown. It's nasty looking. It doesn't look like anything you would want to do. But what John was emphasizing in his baptism, which again was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, what he was emphasizing was not the water itself. It's not the water that makes us clean. It is the act of going into the water, of dedicating ourselves to God. And that is what makes us clean. But that was his baptism. His baptism was of repentance. The baptism that we undergo is a baptism of the Spirit, In other words, it is when God enters into our lives. It is when God says to us, as he did with Jesus, "You are my beloved son or daughter, and in you I am well pleased." It's about what God does for us. It's not about what we do. We are not saved by our good deeds. We are not saved by the things that we do. If we could save ourselves by our own merit, then Christ went to the cross for nothing. If we could save ourselves, Christ died for nothing. So it is impossible for us. But as Jesus said, with man it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. He made it possible for us. He made it possible for us by sending his son to be an atoning sacrifice. Now we read that Jesus came, not in verse 9, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan." He came from Galilee down to the Jerusalem area. And then he went back up. He went into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. He went back into the Galilee region to preach the good news. And then eventually he came back down to Jerusalem to be crucified. And then he told his disciples, after he had arisen, he told his disciples, "Go back to Galilee and I will meet you there." And it was there that he ascended into heaven. It is this circular ministry that we see in Jesus. He comes from Galilee down to Perea to be baptized, and back up to Galilee to minister, and back down to Jerusalem to be crucified, and back up to Galilee to ascend to God. He's going all throughout the region to extend the good news that we don't have to rely on our own merits anymore. We don't have to make sacrifices to God anymore, but that he would be our sacrifice. He would be our Passover lamb. So Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized of John in the Jordan. And again, John was preaching a baptism of repentance. So what would Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect man, the only man who ever walked the face of the earth, who never sinned, what would he have to repent for? Well, in fact, he was being baptized as an example. We look at the things that Jesus did. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? He was baptized. He prayed to God the Father. He fasted. Now, if he could have done his ministry without all of those things, then why did he do them? He did them as an example to us, so that we would be baptized, so that we would pray, so that we would fast. And all these things that God calls us to do to call us into a closer relationship with him, Jesus did as an example for us. Verse 10 says, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened." Now the Greek word there for opened is the same verb which means rent or torn. And it means that the heavens were torn open. Mark is the only one of the gospel writers who uses that particular verb for torn. And it reminds us of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 64 said, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." Remember, we talked about that on the first Sunday of Advent, that God would tear open the heavens and come down. It was a foreshadowing of this event. When Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. Why a dove? Why would a dove be the sign of the Spirit? Because, well, we saw in the reading in Genesis this morning that God's Spirit floated above the waters. God's Spirit was above the waters of the earth when he made the heavens and the earth. So it looks at that time when God's Spirit was above the waters. It also reminds us of the time when Noah sent forth the dove from the ark to see if there had been dry land. The earth in that time had been cleansed by a cataclysmic flood. And now the dove was the symbol that the cleansing was complete. So the Spirit, like a dove, descended upon Jesus. But notice that it says, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. These visions were only for Jesus, although we see in John's Gospel that John the Baptizer also saw these things because he was the prophet who was there to proclaim the coming of Christ. He was also privy to these visions. And he says, there came a voice from heaven saying, and whose voice could come from heaven but God's? Only God could proclaim this. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, Jesus, you are my beloved. You are my beloved Son. I am well pleased in you. And he's speaking directly to Jesus. So again, that voice was not for the benefit of the people, but it was for Jesus at that time. Jesus was baptized as an example to us. John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, which means every time we go toward sin and then we decide, no, I'm going to give my life to God, I can turn around and walk towards God. I'm doing a complete 180. That's what repentance is. But repentance is a process that happens again and again and again. So the people would be baptized over and over and over. We in the Methodist Church, we recognize one baptism. Because again, it's not about us. It's not about what we do. It's not about how clean we keep ourselves. But it's about what God has done for us and does in us all the time. And when we remember that we are baptized, it helps us to remember that we are set apart. The word holy appears in the Bible over and over, and the word really means set apart or separate. It denotes a separation. In other words, we are not part of the world. We are set apart for God's service. We are set apart and holy. We are to be like God. Who is like unto you, God, is what the Psalms say over and over. Who is like you, Lord? There is none like God. He is holy. He is completely different from how we are. But we are made in His image. And every time we stray from His image, that's sin. That's what we call sin. When we do things that are outside of what God would do, that is what is called sin. And that's why He is holy, and we are to make ourselves holy and separate from the world and choose a way that honors Him. But knowing that we are baptized, it also covers a multitude of worldly issues. We have assurance of God's love for us. Just knowing that we are baptized. Martin Luther, who was the father of the Reformation in the 1500s, he suffered under debilitating depression. And not many people knew that, but he was chronically depressed. And when he would get depressed like that, he would sit in his room by himself and repeat to himself over and over, I am baptized. I am baptized. Just reminding himself of God's love for him. And that would help to get him through those dark times. If any of you have ever experienced depression, like real physical depression, it's a crushing weight. And you just don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to do anything. You know, I suffered with depression for many years. And I know that remembering my baptism helps me to get through those dark times when I feel like the whole world is crashing down around me, when I feel like everything is against me. You know, remember my baptism and remember that God loves me. You know, and baptism, it's not about what we do. It's a sign of our acknowledgement of what God has done. That's why we baptize children in the church, because we know that they're not going to be able to make that decision right now. But as I said before, there are many adults who make that decision, who get baptized, and then they just wander anyway. You know, we call them backsliders or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, nobody's perfect. Nobody will be perfect even after the act of baptism. But it's about what God does for us. It's not about what we do, because we can't save ourselves by our own merit. So, this morning, we will reaffirm our baptismal vows, as we have done in the past. The first part of the year is a good time to remember our baptism, because the Lord deserves first things. He deserves the first of our tithe. He deserves the first part of our day. He deserves the first part of the week. He deserves the first love of our hearts. Baptism is the first thing that we do that says to God and to the world, I am yours, O God, wholly yours. Now, as we come forward to remember our baptism, let us rejoice in the knowledge that God says to you also, this day and every day, you are my sons and daughters, in whom I am well pleased. Let us pray. O great God, our Father in heaven, remind us today of your love for us and cover us with your grace and mercy. May your Holy Spirit fall upon us and fill us each and every day. Let us always remember to give you the first part of our lives and everything in it, for all that we have has been given by you for your glory and your praise. We gather at these waters, Lord, to remember our baptism. Remind us, bless us, and send us into the world joyful, happy, and free. For we ask it in the name of Christ, our Lord, our example, and our friend. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, it's hard to believe, but the Lenten season is already upon us, and we have some exciting worship opportunities we'd like to share with you. Our Ash Wednesday service will be held at Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn at 7 p.m. on February 18th. And every Wednesday night during Lent, we will be participating in the Community Lenten Series at Union Presbyterian Church in Carneys Point. Each Wednesday, we will gather for soup and fellowship at 6 p.m. Then at 7 p.m., we will have a short devotional based on the Psalms. It promises to be an edifying and uplifting time, so come on out and join us. And if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.